You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and you may notice it's getting a little bit warmer this week, so that brings to mind how prepared are we if there is a fire that does need our attention. I'm joined by Joel Taggart, the Acting Director of Preparedness Operations with the CFS. Joel, thanks for joining me today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
So I guess at this time of the year, October, starting to get a warmer week, it's probably a little bit too late or we should already be prepared for bushfires, but what's some advice from the CFS about getting things started with how we are preparing for fire season?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously there's a lot of property preparedness you should be doing, both in the lead up to the season, so through winter and right up until now, which includes things like clearing your gutters of your house and clearing the vegetation around your property. And also doing the 5-minute bushfire plan, which is probably well known now, and it's freely available on the CFS website. But more importantly, one thing at the moment we're strongly encouraging people to do is to know where their closest bushfire safe place is and also know when to use it.
Right. So would every community have a bushfire safe place?
Not necessarily, unfortunately, because there are some communities, particularly in the more remote rural areas or areas such as around the Flinders where it's quite hilly and vegetated, that there are just no safer places. But all regions throughout the state do have designated bushfire safer places, which we encourage people to go to the CFS website to look up. And if you don't have internet access, if you contact your local council or local library, I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
And obviously last summer was a lot more mild than we have been used to over recent years, thanks to La Nina coming into this summer and the next few months. What's the CFS thinking about, what are we looking like? How at risk are we this season?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, similar to last year where it's not a huge risk and that we're not going to see the devastating catastrophe of the 2019-2020 bushfire season, but obviously at any time over summer in southern Australia where we live, it's always likely to be some level of heightened fire danger given our dry northerly winds and warm conditions that are prolonged. We probably won't see that until early in the new year at this stage. Obviously, there'll be a few hot days before then, but January, February, March is when it will probably start heating up, and that's when the worst of the bushfire season will be. But obviously, in areas such as the north and west of the state, like where you're situated, they're already drying out fairly rapidly. What we call grass curing is already around about 90%, which means there's a lot of dry fuel out there for fires to burn. So when we get a hot, warm, windy day like we're going to see this week, we don't want complacency to set in, and we want people to be on guard and ready to activate their bushfire plans in the event of a bushfire in their district.
And of course, burn-offs have been going for the last few months, really. How have they been going so far?
Yeah, so obviously a lot of private property owners are involved in those, as well as the Department of Environment and Water, and particularly through the Department of Environment and Water, through the National Parks Division, which is the state-funded burn-offs. They're still ongoing and they're even occurring this week across the state, just to try and reduce fuel load on public land. Obviously, the government has provided more funding for those this year, which is great, and helps National Parks employ firefighters to work around the clock 7 days a week just to burn off extra areas of public land and monitor them and ensure that those burn-offs are safely conducted and do minimal harm to the environment or the parks themselves.
So you mentioned that people can check out how to prepare a 5-minute fire plan on the CFS website. Can you just walk us through what one of those plans would look like?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very simple plan in a template format on our website. And essentially you need to turn your mind to your house preparedness. So are you prepared around your house? Do you need to purchase any extra supplies like a fire blanket or fire extinguisher or a fire hose reel? That makes you think about that. And then also, most importantly, one of the triggers is working out what you would do on a fire ban day. So are you prepared to stay and defend your property, or are you best placed to leave the property early, either in the morning or night before on a day of heightened fire danger? And if leaving early is your preferred option, you need to work out plan A, B and C as to where you go, such as going to a relative's house in a big regional city, or you're going to go into Adelaide, or you're going to go down to the coast or somewhere that's a bit safer. So it's providing these various guidelines and options for you to work out what you're going to do, and offering various options as well. So you've got plan A, plan B, plan C, just in case plan A doesn't work.
And I guess the other option as well is if you're able to, maybe volunteering with the CFS and getting that training firsthand.
That's correct, exactly right. So, yeah, we have plenty of vacancies across the state in our volunteer brigades. They're obviously in many towns and cities across the area. So you contact your local brigade on their training night. Otherwise, you can contact one of our regional officers out at Roseworthy, Port Augusta or Port Lincoln, and they'll steer you in the right direction.
No worries. Well, Joel, all the best with, the warmer weather coming up. I know it's a stressful time for the CFS as it is the rest of the state, but thanks for chatting.
No worries. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. That was Joel Taggart, the Acting Director of Preparedness Operations with the CFS on your Classic It's Breakfast.